The E-Commerce Uncovered podcast is a behind-the-scenes look at what makes e-commerce a success in today's ever-growing and continually changing online world. The podcasts look to uncover the secrets of e-commerce success so you can learn and apply to your own online business. Brought to you by the co-founders of Core Fulfillment, one of the UK's leading e-commerce fulfillment providers, Paul Burns and Jeremy Vernon.
Hi, Jeremy Vernon here, and thank you once again for tuning in to E-commerce Uncovered. For today's podcast, I ventured down to a very wet Bristol as I just walked from the station, Bristol Temple Meads, through to their offices, which is just a short walk away. I just thought I'd tell you a little bit about the business that I'm going to see today. A very young business, just over 2 years old, and they have developed a product that is trying to disrupt two very big industries. One of those industries being coffee and the other being sports nutrition. So a really interesting business, not really done anywhere else. This product's not really been done before and generated a lot of interest, won quite a few awards. So I think it'd just make a really interesting episode for you to listen to. Today I'll be meeting Helena Hills. She is absolutely full of passion for the business. So I really do hope you enjoy this episode. And I'll speak to you in a bit. Hello, I've got Helena Hills here with me today from True Start Coffee. Really interesting story. I'd just like, if you, in your own words, could you give us a little bit of background on True Start and how it all started for you?
Yeah, sure. It's been quite a journey, actually. So we're a really young brand, a young Bristol-based brand. We are a couple of years old now, which I can't believe. I feel like on the one hand, it's been my whole life, but on the other hand, it's only been like a couple of weeks. It moves so fast. We're naturally energizing coffee that makes you feel awesome with no crash or jitters. And the idea for True Start, which obviously is where it really began, came 14 months before we launched. And it was a case of my husband Simon and I, we were just drinking loads of coffee. I mean, I'm sure...
I do that.
You're familiar with that.
Yeah.
But we had a full-time job, so we were training for an Ironman triathlon and we just had a lot going on, loads of early mornings. So I really was drinking quite a bit of coffee. The thing is, though, I'm sensitive to caffeine. So I was noticing that I'd be out one day, whether it was in a meeting or at the gym or whatever, and I'd be having heart palpitations. I don't know if you've ever had that after a particularly strong...
Particularly strong coffee, yes.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't feel good.
No, yeah, it doesn't feel good at all. And you sort of have a dodgy tummy, bit of anxiety. But other times I felt like I needed more than one coffee to even get going. And I was moaning about it to Simon because I just felt rubbish. And he said it might be the coffee. And I sort of realised, actually, I drink a lot of coffee. I know caffeine wakes you up, but apart from that, I really don't know anything. So I hit Google and I was like, right, what does caffeine even do? Because there's actually a ton of physiological benefits as long as you're not overdosing. How much are you supposed to have to get those benefits? How much is too much? And how much is in coffee? And that was when we uncovered this like completely mind-blowing fact that the caffeine in a cup of coffee varies from 20 milligrams at the bottom end to over 400.
That's a big difference.
At the top end.
That's a big difference.
And we, I know. We honestly couldn't believe it. There's just so many variables that affects the caffeine. Obvious things like the bean, but also the rainfall on that crop, it turns out, makes a difference. It's like the difference between buying a bottle of wine and not knowing whether it's 4% or 40%. We literally couldn't believe it. It's the difference between a quarter of a, you know, a Red Bull or 5.5 Red Bulls. It's insane.
That is a big, big...
I know.
...swing of...
It's not exactly content, insignificant, is it? And we just thought, people care so much now about what they're eating and drinking. Caffeine has flown massively under the radar. Surely we're not the only people in the world who think a reliably caffeinated, really clean, really good quality coffee... Yeah. That makes you feel awesome every time, you know, with no crash or jitters or anything, would be amazing. Like, surely that is really obvious.
Yeah.
So we just sort of looked into it and no one had ever done it before. Maybe in the past it just hadn't been, you know, something people would have wanted. I don't know if we had had the idea 10 years ago. Yeah. Yeah. So to cut a long story short, we decided to give it a go and see if we could make it happen. And we found a team in Colombia to work with. So I spent some time living in Colombia. Amazing.
Not just happen to fall by.
No.
Just know them.
And well, no, exactly. Colombia is like an amazing country. The coffee is like ridiculous.
Was that a sort of
good.
A year out type living in Colombia, or was that
working? Yeah, exactly. So I spent a couple of years living in South America for various reasons. I was studying for a period of time, working, teaching English, different things, traveling.
Great.
Of course. And Colombian coffee is just awesome. So we were like, right, let's start there. We managed to develop the sourcing process, the hyper-selective sourcing process, and the technology to completely naturally regulate the caffeine level in coffee.
So why isn't that done ordinarily?
I think there's a couple of reasons. I think coffee is obviously like a very well-established industry, and it just hasn't been the priority. 20 years ago, no one thought twice about caffeine. A bit like now, we're a lot more aware about all sorts, calories, proteins, fats, carbs.
Yeah.
So there's a timing thing, which I think is a big part of it. And a lot of the innovation in coffee over recent years has been focused very much on taste and artisan production, which is awesome. But again, just no real focus on the caffeine side and health benefits, which is much more important for people now.
Yeah.
So I do think it's a timing thing.
Okay.
So we launched TrueStart, the first coffee in the world to have a consistent, measured level of caffeine, so you feel fantastic with no crash. And day one, so Simon and I have always known we wanted to grow much more than just a cool product. We wanted to build an iconic brand that really means something to people. So day one was Simon and I in a field near Taunton with about 20 people that were running a 10K, and we were handing out shots of TrueStart saying, have a great run. And we always wanted there to be this experience around the brand of feeling great.
And how was that received at the time? Because presumably coffees weren't the thing that people were handing out. It was gels,
yeah.
It was all sorts of energy drinks.
How
was that look at coffee?
Funnily enough, it's a really good question. So funnily enough, I was drinking coffee as a pre-workout. So I was drinking it because everyone knows that caffeine gives you a boost. So it's become quite a common part of pre-workout drinks. And a lot of people don't want synthetic pre-workout drinks and energy drinks anymore. So I was part of a large number of people using coffee for an energy boost for that exact reason. So it wasn't as weird as you would maybe think. Some people like wanted a bit of education, like why a coffee before a run? And that kind of takes me on to, we ended up really focusing on sport actually, because there was such clear traction, like everybody just understood it completely. There was a clear use case.
And that's more endurance sport, is it, more than anything?
Mainly because it was where Simon and I, we really
like
knew
the way
it.
Your interest was.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we were training for that Ironman triathlon, so we were into endurance, running, cycling was a big part of our lives at the time. So it made sense to focus there, and we've grown just a fantastic, like super loyal Team TrueStart, we call them, hashtag Team TrueStart.
I've seen on social media, it looks great, and obviously people are very brand loyal as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, and I really think that the key reason that we've grown so quickly has been our customers and our obsession is the right word, actually, with customer experience. And they're like my friends. Our customers are our friends. Yeah. We really care about them feeling part of the brand.
Okay.
They're not a number and they know it.
you sort of obviously sit in a very unusual place, because you've mentioned, obviously, you've gone down the sports nutrition market, which is highly competitive. We, as a business, also work in various different elements of that industry. And coffee, which is ubiquitous, isn't it? There's a coffee shop everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was doing some research on coffee, I was surprised to hear that they're predicting that coffee shops will exceed the number of pubs by 2030.
Yeah, and that's a generational thing as well. People are drinking less alcohol.
Yeah, so you sit as a hybrid, I suppose.
Yeah.
Sports nutrition and the whole cafe and coffee industry that we are beginning to see go absolutely crazy on our high streets. Where do you see you going? Are you potentially going to go more to the coffee side of just the drinker, or stay in sports nutrition, or somewhere else?
So this is a very timely question. So towards the end of last year, Simon and I realised that TrueStart had reached like a juncture where we had two choices essentially to grow the business. One was to go fully down the sports nutrition route and become a sports nutrition business. And if you have sports nutrition as a market, a really tiny portion of that is caffeinated and an even tinier portion of that is coffee flavoured.
And is that again down to education?
No, because you do need more than just caffeine in sports nutrition. You absolutely need all your carbs, everything else. If you want to become a fully fledged sports nutrition brand, you need to do the whole shebang. There are loads of awesome sports nutrition companies out there. It is not a market with a gap. I have brands that I like within sports nutrition. For the caffeine, obviously, I've got my TrueStart.
Yes, but, of course.
And it would require TrueStart to go down the non-coffee, non-caffeinated route for a good proportion of our product range. Then the other route was to go down coffee.
Yeah.
Now, the coffee industry, we've always said from the beginning, is what needed disrupting. If you go and stand in the supermarket and look at the coffee aisle, it is pretty boring. It has not changed very much over the last few years.
No.
There's just not any real innovation because it's so dominated by the massive brands that we all know. We don't have to say who they are.
Yeah.
And there is no brand within coffee. There's plenty of artisan, but again, that is a very different sort of use case. There's no brand within coffee, no mainstream brand that resonates with the younger generation. So if we're talking under 40s here, millennials and beyond, there is just no brand to match their evolving coffee sort of behaviour, which is very different to baby boomers who are more into sort of drinking 10 cups of instant coffee a day. It's very, very different to the younger generation. And the younger generation want more, they expect more out of brands. So they're not looking at brands just to meet sort of like a nutritional need.
Yep.
They're looking at brands to meet an emotional need. God, often a spiritual need. There's a lot to it,
yep.
As well as the physical, emotional, nutritional need. And Simon and I, we're all about the brand and the impact a brand can have on a person. And that is the gap that we see. There is a huge gap for a refreshing brand, an iconic brand, a vibrant brand within coffee for that will be the number one choice for the younger generation.
And presumably the benefits of, or the factor in the space of sports nutrition at the moment, there's health benefits to that as well. So not only are you trying to build a trendy brand, is it a trend?
I would say iconic.
Iconic is a better,
We want TrueStart to become representative of our attitude towards life, which is like just diving into your day, getting the most out of it and feeling good about being yourself. And
do you also think within that generation, we touched on just briefly, that a lot less people are drinking alcohol in that generation?
Yes.
Do you think that's part of where you see this?
Very much so. It really is. So Simon and I, who used to be amongst the heaviest drinkers in our group of friends, first to admit that, at the beginning of last year, we actually decided to stop drinking alcohol. Completely stop, because we're very all or nothing.
I'm a little bit like that.
Yeah. As we're not like two beer people.
It's 20.
Yeah, totally. Like we just can't, and with everything in life, we very much, the whole dive in thing I just said, that's our philosophy, which is why it's important that TrueStart matches. But yeah, we decided to stop drinking alcohol and haven't looked back. I literally don't even want an alcoholic drink. I'm pregnant now, so it's a little bit different anyway.
Just like to say, obviously, congratulations.
But Simon's the same. Neither of us. And we've been to every... Simon's just got back from a stag do at the weekend. We've been to every social situation now, weddings, festivals, everything.
No,
we don't even want a drink.
No alcohol at all.
No, and it's not stopping us going to... It's not even stopping us going to raves. You know, it's just not part of our lives anymore. And turns out we're not alone. Like a lot of people are feeling the same, that they can, just because they don't drink, or they want to drink less, maybe they do want to drive home, or maybe they just want to enjoy a couple of really nice, high quality drinks.
Yeah.
And not...
I think you touched on it before, it's about education of health, isn't it? People are far more health conscious now than they've ever been.
Absolutely, yeah.
People know more about the effects of certain things, and we all know that alcohol isn't a positive thing.
I know, it's an interesting...
In moderation.
In moderation, yeah. And I believe that this sort of younger cohort are all about juxtaposition. So all about having it all. It's this funny sort of conflict at the heart of this generation, which is actually controlling more, like, well, like caffeine intake, like alcohol intake, like the health of their food, in order to actually get more out of life. It's like they're controlling more in order to actually experience more and enjoy more, which is a juxtaposition, but they're all about experiences and getting more out of life. And in order to do that, you know, they want to live longer, they want to be healthier so they can do crazy things like extreme hammocking or whatever it is people want to do.
So you're talking about this sort of pivot, I suppose, in the business.
Mm. Where
what are you doing? What's the business going to do to pivot to try and sort of go to that newer market?
Okay, good question again. So sport will always be at our roots, and we're bringing absolutely our roots with us here. This is all about unlocking the true start, I suppose, not to sound too cheesy.
Is that what you're going to rebrand it as? true start.
No, it will still be true start. But we've been working really, really hard on a massive rebrand with an incredible group of people who really understand how to take everything that's in Simon and I's heads. I feel like Simon and I have got True Start and what we want it to be to the maximum point we can with our own abilities, because we're not designers, we're not actually marketeers, we're learning as we go, etc. And we know what we want True Start to be. We want it to be this vibrant, iconic brand that people really resonate with. Yeah. And all of this is in our heads. And when people listen, they understand. But it's been impossible for us to sort of get that out there any more than we have. So we've done a rebrand. We've got a new logo coming. We've got a new... It will look different to how it looks now.
Colours different? Or are you sticking with the same blue?
There'll be a level of familiarity.
Okay.
But much more vibrant. So right now, True Start feels quite serious and sporty when you just take it at face value. So if you see the product in a shop, and actually our customers, when we ask them what they love about True Start, every single one of them says the energy around the brand. So when they see us at events, when they get to know us as a team, when they get to know other members of Team True Start, it's actually the energy that they portray that they love. It's not about the seriousness and the performance. So the word performance coffee, they're going.
Okay.
Because actually that is, it's actually against what we stand for. It's very serious. And we're about helping people to be energized to get the most out of every day.
Having fun.
Having fun, yeah. Less serious. Taking themselves less seriously. And when I talk to my customers, they are about so much more than just, you know, for example, sport, maybe running, for example, or triathlon. It's a part of their life. So it's,
you have to dedicate a huge amount of time to something.
Yeah,
like that.
But it's not their whole life. And there's an individual personality for everybody, and everybody's very different. And we want to give people confidence to be themselves and be bold and, you know, stand for what they stand for. So it's quite different. Oh, and yeah, we have a whole product range coming, a whole new product range.
Yeah.
So, really exciting. Something that we're also bringing in with the new launch, this is going to be in June, is hyper-sustainability. So it's something that's really important to Simon and I. We notice as individuals that I literally enjoy consuming a product less if I've got to throw some plastic in the bin. I don't know if you feel like that, but I'm really getting it more and more. And again, it's front of mind for a lot of people, which is probably why it's really front of mind for me at the moment. But it is impacting my enjoyment of a product. So we've decided to go hyper-sustainable. And I say hyper-sustainable, our homebrew range, so our instant whole bean, fresh ground coffee. We're also introducing Nespresso-compatible pods, all of which will be 100% biodegradable.
Excellent. Wow.
So we're really excited about that. And we want to be leading the way in terms of biodegradability to help other brands to do the same, because there's a lot of greenwashing that goes on around biodegradability, a lot of biodegradable packaging that actually deposits chemicals on the ground, for example. So it's not ideal at all. So we're working with an amazing company who've developed totally groundbreaking packaging where it doesn't do that at all. It actually biodegrades, produces a bit of biomass that actually helps plants.
Is ethics really important to you as a business?
It is, yeah.
What drives that? What's because obviously there's a You're in business.
Yeah.
You're in business to make money ultimately.
Yeah.
Not necessarily your top driver, of course, but no business will survive long term
if you're not making money. No.
Correct. So, what is it that's so important for you guys to see that sustainable and sort of ethical side to your business?
Personally, my driver is that I am doing TrueStart to prove that you can dream big and have crazy, I'm going to take on Nescafe type
it's
dreams.
A big dream. It's a big
dream.
Yeah,
absolutely. And you can build it sustainably over time. Obviously, it's not going to happen overnight without compromising your ethics. I really believe that you can do that. And I really don't believe it's going to be easy. And it's not been easy. Otherwise, everyone would do it. But I really, really believe that you can do that. And we're about to have a baby. And I want our baby to grow up and go, I can do that. I can work hard to achieve whatever my big dream is. And that's why it's so important. Because anybody can take shortcuts. Anybody can... I don't know how to say this without swearing. I'm not going to swear.
You can swear if you want.
Oh, can I? Okay.
Yeah, we're not bothered about swearing.
And I don't want our child to grow up thinking the only way to make it big in business is to fuck people over. Yeah, that's why ethics are so important.
Okay. Your passion, obviously, for the business just radiates. You can tell that. With the growth, with the scaling that the grand plan has, and obviously the rebrand and the pivot that you're doing, do you think you will keep that personality of the brand? Because the personality is you and Simon, really, isn't it, at the moment?
Yes, yeah.
Do you think with the grand plan, that's going to be quite difficult to maintain? Because
it's going to be the opposite. I cannot tell you how excited I am to have a brand that, in how it looks and feels without Simon and I there, reflects how Simon and I look like feel. Because at the moment, if you meet Simon or the rest of the team or our customers and they introduce you to TrueStart, you will experience the personality of the brand, absolutely. But if you walk into a shop and just see it on the shelf, you won't, because it is much more serious. It doesn't give off the same vibe. The new brand is going to look and feel this energizing.
Sounds exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the point of it. The point of it is to actually emulate like our big personality, and it will do that better. And I'm just so excited to have a brand that we can therefore scale without compromising our personality. It's actually going to be easier. That's the point of the rebrand. I actually want our customers, I said this right at the start, I want our customers to feel a relief when they see the new brand. I want them to feel like, that's TrueStart. That's what I knew. That's what I know in my heart. Yeah, that's how I want them to feel.
So do you say June is the unveiling of
of
everything?
Yes. Excellent. And we'll be sort of teasing some stuff out in the interim, because we want to take our customers on this journey with us. So we're going to start communicating, starting with our most loyal fans and making sure that they're knowing what's going on. It's important, yeah.
Talks about the journey is relatively short so far.
Yeah.
2 years or so.
Yeah.
Just quickly, what were you actually doing before TrueStart? What was your job?
So I used to do software sales.
Okay.
Yeah, very different.
Yeah.
And Simon was an engineer, project manager in a construction company. So again, really different.
Did you both give up the careers at the same time?
No. So Simon was full-time from day one, and then I was full-time from 6 months in. Yeah.
As I say, short journey so far. As any business owner will know, it's not a straightforward, nor is it an easy road to success.
No.
And I suppose there's another question that I'll come to about what you define as success. We'll come back to that. But what sort of advice have you got for anyone that's starting? Obviously, this is sort of theme for our podcast is e-commerce, but a lot of this is just relevant to business generally. Yeah. Based on that sort of 2 year journey so far that you've had, what the sort of things can you take away that you could give advice to people that go, that they may not expect, or things to look out for, or things to be realistic about? Because it isn't just a linear path, is it?
It's, no way.
It's that roller coaster or the cliffs and the whatever you sort of analyze it as, but it's just not a straight line journey, is it?
No, it's really not. Do you know what? I was just talking to Simon earlier today about how obviously we made mistakes and we learn every single day. And I really believe that if you're not making mistakes, then you're not making anything. we were saying that, you know, rewind time, could you do things differently? And honestly, you have to make these mistakes yourself. Most of our mistakes, you could have told me beforehand that it was going to happen. I'd have been like, nope, like, I'm just going to do this.
Yeah.
And my biggest advice is just do it. I hate Nike for that slogan. It's the best slogan. It's great. But it's a case of, I see a lot of people who budding entrepreneurs often who have a great idea maybe, and they want it to be absolutely perfect before they launch it, or they're just so afraid of putting that idea out there that it becomes completely, it's become something they never ever do.
It's overwhelming in a lot of cases, isn't
yeah.
it? Because they're like, I don't know where to start. Got a great idea.
Absolutely.
Have no idea how to start it.
And exactly. And the key is to actually just do something. It really doesn't matter what you do, because nothing is irreversible. And as long as you're true to yourself and you're being you and you're being genuine, and people understand that. People are human. If we've ever made a mistake, even at small scale, like, I don't know, maybe taking too long to reply to a customer. We're pretty big on customer service. Maybe something slipped the net. You know, got busy inbox.
I'm sure you have.
Then I'm apologetic about it. I hold my hands up, and people completely appreciate that. And it is just the case of getting on with it. If you have a look at the first product we launched, it was True Start Coffee in a crappy jar, like literally the same jar that Tesco Value Coffee comes in. And it looked rubbish. We've got it downstairs in like a little museum of where we've been today.
To keep looking at it and going, yeah, that's how we started. That's where we started.
We knew full well when we launched that is not where we wanted to be. That is not the vibrant, iconic brand that we wanted True Start to set. But you can't do that on day one. Oh my God, there's so much learning that goes behind it, learning about yourself as well. So just getting things out there and not being afraid of feedback, relentlessly asking for feedback actually is a piece of advice I would give. We do that with our customers, and when they give feedback, we are always really graciously receiving it because it helps us improve and we make it easy for them. So it's easy for people to get in touch with True Start. It's probably easier than it should be for them to get in touch with Simon and I, particularly me. So I do have a lot of sort of messages, but we ask, when you order things off our website, you get an email saying, you know, how likely, 10 days later or whatever, how likely are you at a scale of 1 to 10 to recommend this to your friend? Why? We are relentless with it, and our customers actually really appreciate it, and they tell you the truth, and it's fantastic. So yeah, just do it, get out there, make mistakes. Do not be afraid to make mistakes, because if you're not making mistakes, you are not making anything. So making mistakes is actually a good thing. And ask for feedback and never sit still. Iterate, improve, because you're never going to be the best version of yourself on day. Well, you're probably never going to be the best version of yourself, full stop, right? Well, that's part of the fun of life. But yeah, it's all about constant improvement, iteration, and that's what keeps people excited and engaged anyway.
So as part of that, what's been your biggest challenge to get from where you started to now?
Building a team.
Okay.
You noticed there wasn't much of a gap between the question and the answer.
When you say building a team, do you mean people management
yeah.
or finding the right people?
Both. Yeah. So I would say one of our more costly mistakes was overhiring too early on, before we even had really a product that was ready to sell at scale, to be honest. So, you know, when we had the jar rather than when we upgraded into the pouch, etc. And we went down the route of hiring a too large for where we were, but inexperienced team that therefore required a lot of management, a lot of people management. Now, management is not Simon and I's strong suit, and it's actually both of our areas of like least experience.
Typically is. Entrepreneurs are not necessarily
yeah.
managers as such. They have
yeah.
the vision, they have the big picture stuff.
Yeah.
But it's not necessarily their great at managing the day-to-day.
The side is, yeah, really, really hard. So, I mean, that was a really big shock to the system. We had to learn quickly. I'm proud of some of the stuff we did. It was tough, really, really tough to learn to manage a too big team too fast. We learned loads. But yeah, I would say that's been the hardest thing. We're at a place now with the team that I'm really happy. Like, I've never been happier.
How many are in the team now?
We have five. Five, yeah. Not all full-time.
Okay.
Simon and I are the only full-time. And that will go up to three full-time. So our brand manager is going from part-time to full-time in May, for example.
Get used to recruiting, I think, is the thing. For any business that scales.
Yeah, it's hard. And actually, my biggest piece of advice there is to have a supply chain that you trust implicitly. That is critical. It is critical. It has been so important to us. Oh, my God. Not only because, actually, without a supply chain, you can't deliver anything, but also for the advice and the extended team that you end up with through partnerships that are that close with other companies.
Yeah.
That's been really important to us.
Obviously, from that point, you've got a very small team.
Yeah.
You are very much about leveraging other people's time and expertise.
Yeah.
Do you see that changing as a business? Because obviously, as you grow and scale, outsourcing is... It's quite a cold word, isn't it, in some ways. Partnering, we prefer to call it.
Yeah,
call it.
Same.
Do you see that as a long-term strategy for you guys? Because I guess, depending on what scale you look to get to, some of these things will be eventually brought in-house.
Yeah, I mean, I really believe that knowing your strengths and really playing to those strengths is the most sensible thing to do in business. And we are all about incredible energizing products that make you feel amazing, with a brand to match that makes you feel amazing. And that's where we want to focus. When it comes to anything, well, I'm talking to you, when it comes to fulfillment, I'm not particularly interested in becoming an expert in that field, because we have experts in that field. So I do think long term, in every way, it's a key part of what we do.
Coming back to the team bit, obviously husband and wife team, you live, breathe, sleep the business effectively. You're just about to bring, obviously,
a baby
into the team. How's that as a business? Because again, a lot of people, if they start businesses, might be a solo entrepreneur. So it's quite a lonely place to be, really. Obviously, you've got each other to support each other, which is fantastic. But I'm sure there's downsides to that as well. And the fact that you have there's no downtime from True Start for you guys, is there?
No, and sometimes we used to joke that we felt sorry for the team, because we would come in the morning and overnight we've decided like 10,000 things.
Had a board meeting overnight.
Yeah, exactly. And what are they supposed to do? How are they supposed to keep up with that? And I know that the pace that Simon and I move at are probably very much because we're together most of the time. It is quite hard to keep up with. So in terms of like working together, people quite often say to me, God, I don't know how you do it, you know, in jest or whatever. I don't know how people do it the other way around, because I cannot imagine, if Simon wasn't involved with True Start, for example, I can't imagine, I'd be boring him to tears. I'm sure I would, and vice versa. So I think we're really lucky in that respect. We're both really on the same page of where we want it to be. But to be honest, honesty and openness has had to be really important from day one. We've had to make sure that we're really, often we revisit, we're always making sure that we are wanting the same things, because the minute that we start to want different things and we're not honest about it with each other, for the business and for individuals, then that will cause problems for the business. So we're very open-minded for, as the business evolves, the business is separate to Simon and I as a relationship, as individuals.
That must be hard to separate, though.
It is hard to separate, and we have to consciously do it. This is what I mean. So we talk about our vision for True Start, where we see it going. We talk about our vision as a couple and where we want to be. And at some point, there'll be I'll just give you an example of, you know, completely hypothetical. Simon covers the whole operational side of the business at the moment, as well as a million other things. And he'll go, maybe one day, I do not want to do that anymore. And it doesn't mean that he doesn't want to do True Start. It doesn't mean he doesn't want the same things for True Start, but we have to find somebody that does want to be that part of the business. So it's about understanding what the business, where we want it to be and what it needs to get there, understanding where we want to be and making sure that both gaps are filled, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
I consider myself really lucky to have a husband who is completely on the same, and I know he feels the same way, and we really love it. We started this really because we wanted to build something incredible together, and that's what we're doing. So, yeah.
In terms of support for you guys building this brand, do you buy into the whole finding mentors, finding people that are further ahead than you, that have maybe done something similar, not necessarily exactly the same thing, but someone to learn from and guide you as part of this journey?
God, yeah, I think you'd be crazy not to. And I spend a lot of time, I like allocate a certain amount of time to helping people who are at the sort of ideas stage of a business to pay forward the mentorship that I've received. So very early on, right at the beginning of True Start, we started on a business accelerator called Entrepreneurial Spark, which is in partnership with NatWest. So we had their sort of office space and everything, which is great, completely free. It's a brilliant system. And the biggest, like the most amazing thing about that, you got mentorship, you got sort of structured mentorship, but you were also in a community of lots of other entrepreneurs doing their own thing and changing the world in their own way. Yeah. And the biggest part of that was it removed, and actually the fact that Simon and I work together removes this as well, what I think is one of the hardest parts of starting your own business, which is the loneliness. Because that, it can be hard to deal with. Even though Simon and I are together, so we're not alone because there are two of us, even then it can be hard to deal with. So being in that community of other people feeling the same was like a lifesaver on the down days, and it's a massive roller coaster. I've always just reached out to people that I want to speak to. So if I, for example, really respect a brand, I literally reach out to the founder and I'm like, it'd be great to chat, you know, and often we can help each other as well.
And have you ever had reasonable success with that? They're quite happy to give
I think, and people reach out to me as well and I help them. And often I think people are, there's this perception of busyness, isn't there? Where if you think you reach out to that really busy person, often I find that they're the most responsive, much more responsive than if you're reaching out to a salesperson. Yeah. Fundamentally, that's true, because they care. They really, really care. And we have some incredible mentors around us. The guys at Entrepreneurial Spark have just been amazing. And that extends to the bank, actually. I always feel weird, like, when I'm talking about how amazing the bank have been. Like,
it's not often you hear that, I can assure you.
It's really not, but they are like, when you get to know the people and what they're actually trying to do, they're doing this because they genuinely want to help entrepreneurs, and that mentorship's been invaluable. We've got some incredible, the former MD for Dow Egberts is one of our investors. He's been invaluable.
That's quite a coup, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just have someone of that. I mean, they've presumably seen something within the brand that they feel there's a long-term
And it's those
future.
Things that give you the confidence early on. And one of the founding partners for Naked Bars, you know, Naked and Trek Bars, he's also an investor. And I mean, these guys have got just decades of incredible experience.
And how much time do you get with these investors that help you sort with the day-to-day decisions?
As much as we need. We don't tend to need too much, you know, because we just tend to get on with it. But if I ever have something that I do not know how to deal with this, I'll give them a call. They're phenomenal. And the other guy who's just been incredible is the guy who heads up the whole coffee import side of the business. He's the first guy we ever really told about True Start. And he's got, again, decades of experience within coffee, and he just has been invaluable. Yeah. It's reaching out to people and asking them for help. I always find, especially if you're specific about the help you need, which is a top tip, I suppose, people are always happy to help. It's if you're wishy-washy, where people, certainly when I receive a question, if it's wishy-washy, I'm like, oh God, I don't know if I meet up with you, whether I'm going to be giving you 4 hours of my time to talk about nothing.
Yeah.
If somebody's got a specific challenge they're facing early on in their business, I'll happily give them an hour over coffee. I do allocate a set amount of time to that per month, because otherwise it got a bit out of control at one point. Simon was like, you've got your own business to build. But yeah.
So you're a big believer in paying it forward, basically.
Massive believer in paying it forward, yeah. We actually have another business, a social enterprise called Helpful Peeps, which is all about paying it forward. I've stepped back and I'm only involved as Simon's wife. It was a group of four of us that started it. Yeah.
Okay. come back to some products. Something I've noticed that I've not seen before, which I thought was really interesting, is your Nitro Coffee Cold Brew.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
It's cool, isn't it? Yeah. So last year we were, so obviously we established ourselves with our retail range, but last year we were thinking really hard about how do we take TrueStar out of home and where it really belongs, especially with this younger cohort, much more about out-of-home coffee.
Has this helped with the rebrand and the pivot of the business?
Yeah, it has, yeah. It's helped us both in the way that it's given us something to test the market with in the meantime. That's the main way, I suppose. We were like, right, we've got our hot coffee beans now. We started with instant. And we've got our whole beans now, so we can, you know, cafes can serve those. That's fine. But it's been done, hasn't it? I mean, our beans are amazing. Definitely buy our beans and serve them in your cafe. But we want to be leading the way in terms of coffee innovation and experience and excitement. And we just felt it was a bit flat. And we just looked at what's going on in the States, because fundamentally they're a few years ahead. And Nitro cold brew coffee has just gone through the roof over there. And we were like, yeah, that's interesting. Why? Why is that? So just so you know what Nitro cold brew coffee is. So cold brew coffee is when you brew fresh ground coffee with cold water, you leave it overnight, and it makes a brewed coffee, but with no heat or pressure, which is fundamentally a lot smoother and naturally sweeter than regular coffee. It's lighter, so it's not as intense tasting.
As a coffee drinker, I'm not sure I get the cold coffee bit, but I've got to say I've not tried it. So.
Yeah, it's well, after this, well, you can have some downstairs.
Okay, thank you.
And there's a very big difference between generational attitudes to these things, and we've seen it's quite incredible, actually. It's introducing a lot more consumers to coffee because it's more broadly appealing. It's introducing customers at a younger age to coffee, replacing teenagers having energy drinks, which I think is only a good thing. So that's cold brew. Nitro cold brew is cold brew coffee infused with nitrogen, which sounds very fancy.
Does sound very fancy.
Yeah.
What does that actually mean then?
So the nitrogen, it's in the same way that Guinness is nitrogenated. The nitrogen makes it fluffy and creamy.
And it settles,
and
does it, like a Guinness?
It literally looks like a Guinness and it comes out of the tap. You get that indulgent head on the top. So it's really foamy and indulgent and fluffy and textured. So you get all the sort of like indulgent latte vibes, but with no milk or sugar. So actually, when you look at, again, the younger generation who want that juxtaposition, they want to have it all, they want health and they want indulgence, it makes sense, because they are having all the taste, all the experience, more experience even than regular coffee, because it looks like a Guinness, for God's sake. Yeah. But it's actually good for them. And it also, it's just an exciting innovation. And that's what people are looking for.
I've noticed you've actually, just looking at sort of the places that you have this product in, nightclubs in Motion in Bristol.
Yeah.
The Velodrome.
Yeah. In London.
And boutique gyms, which I suppose is going a little bit back towards the sports nutrition side of things, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, it is a great energy drink, whether you or not you're having it before the gym, or you're having it, hopefully one day it'll be at every petrol station. So you're on a long drive, you can have a TrueStar rather than a Red Bull. We also have it at lots of cafes. We have bars that serve it because espresso martinis are the most popular cocktail out there.
Okay.
It's a massive faff for bar staff to actually make espresso martinis. Simon was telling me at the stag do he was on Saturday, actually, they're always taking the piss out of Simon because he's obviously coffee and they call him coffee as a joke and stuff. And they went into a pub and asked for, or a bar and asked for 15 espresso martinis and probably one, not for Simon, just to drink with Simon. And the barman said no, because it takes too long, and they ended up leaving, going to another pub. So it's quite a good example, actually.
Did he try and sell up the Nitro?
No, he was like, oh, I wanted to. but that's pretty common. So it's a really easy, efficient, consistent way for bar staff to serve a whole load of cool cocktails without needing to be a cocktail
so
master.
Do you see something like the Nitro, is that something that you eventually see as a home, someone buying one of those for their home? Is that
yeah,
the big,
so
big
right
idea
now,
in some ways?
Right now, the machines, they're an investment. There's no way, unless you've just got cash burning a hole in your pocket. There's
some
no way.
Will have.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly not ready for the mass market because they're a few thousand pounds, not a few hundred pounds.
Yeah.
But I would love to have a small home version that is affordable, like a little coffee machine is.
And is that part of the plan?
Not short term.
Okay.
What actually we are launching, though, is a range of bottled cold brew coffees, which I am so excited about. So our bottled cold brew coffees become our primary hero shop window product, along with the nitro, but obviously that's in venues, whereas the bottles you will be able to buy those in forecourts and in convenience stores and
ready to drink, basically.
Exactly, a ready to drink cold brew coffee. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well,
really,
I can't wait to see all these things come to fruition. So we'll keep an eye on that. One thing we touched on, obviously, again, short sort of 2-year window there and thereabouts at the moment, but celebrating success and just list a few things here that I've seen that you've achieved in terms of awards. Great British Scale Up Entrepreneur of the Year 2017, NatWest Every Woman Brand of the Future 2017, Entrepreneurial Spark Entrepreneur of the Moment 2016. RBS Global Focus Women Nominee Award 2016, GB Entrepreneur of the Year Finalist 2015 and 16, and I believe Business Insider, one of the top 5 brands to watch.
Yeah, yeah. That's last month.
It's not a bad list, is it, in 2 years?
No.
How do you celebrate success?
Not well. Okay. this is something that we're always trying to improve at. And yeah, it kind of ties back to your question about Simon and I working together. We've got a lot better in the first year, and we're actually coming up to 3 years now I think about it, rather than two. Certainly our first year, maybe our first 2 years, really bad at switching off and celebrating success. And actually that led to burnout on quite a number of occasions. So we are way better at taking time for ourselves to replenish and grow, actually, which has been brilliant and really important. And we're also better at celebrating success. But yeah, it can be quite easy to, when you're working so hard towards something, and I'm not saying an award, I'm saying the big picture, and then an award comes along the way.
This is a nice to have, isn't it?
Yeah, and you're kind of like, oh, great, good, because I'm working so hard. It's part of knowing you're getting there, but actually you need to take a step back and breathe and go, that's awesome. This week, we have been talking about this a lot because this weekend, as part of the long weekend, we're planning on we're going to go away to a hotel and a spa and sit and take time for ourselves to go through every single month that TrueStat has existed and write down what's happened in that month and sort of make a bit of a backdated diary of it, which I'm really looking forward to.
Is there a book in there?
No. To be honest, one day I probably will, when I have the time and the inclination. I would really love to document this story because it is a story. And I think, you know, it's genuinely something that, well, I want to get it down, whether anyone else wants to read it, I don't know. But
other people genuinely are interested in hearing success stories. And when I say success stories, obviously they know there's ups and downs within that.
Yeah.
I think people are really, really intrigued about hearing what it takes to go from nothing to wherever you end up.
Yeah, because it's easy to focus on social media in general. We now as a society only really focus on highlights reels, and I think it's really good to give the good, the bad and the ugly, and that's what we'll do. And that's what Simon and I are going to write down. This is just for our own benefit this weekend. But then it will be documented. And obviously brains get full and forget things. And we're like, God, we need to get this down. So yeah, I'm sure one day we will write a book about it. I guess in a funny way, that's what we'll be doing this weekend. And it's the end of the financial year. So it actually ties in quite well. Yeah, we are getting much better at it. Just in a way that we recognise the value in and importance of just switching off and taking time for ourselves, of not just putting constant pressure on yourself to do more, because you do burn out. We've burnt out a few times, but I'd say for 6 months now, we've been so much better with that. We're stricter with ourselves and, yeah.
I think entrepreneurs, because they see sort of the bigger picture stuff, the vision stuff, these don't tend to be recognised well, the little wins. Not always big wins, are they?
No.
But awards and achievements and new product launches, yeah. and all those sorts of things are just the milestones, aren't they, of success, which I think entrepreneur, I mean, I think even Paul and myself are probably similar. We don't celebrate enough. We don't make enough of probably the good things that we achieve. But
and also your expectations change, don't they?
They do.
Because right at the beginning, we were talking this week about some of the things that we were so excited about achieving or doing in the beginning. God, my pregnant brain has gone completely blank. But, you know, just whatever they were.
Yeah, yeah.
And now those things are like...
the norm.
My God, they're not even things. And actually, that is just incredible in itself. And you should never forget how you felt when you did that. Like, I remember how when we got the Holland and Barrett listing, it was just the most incredible feeling ever.
So where were you at that time? Well, where, just sort of picture where you were when you got that
okay,
news.
That's quite a good story, actually, because we... it was on Christmas Eve a couple of years ago, and the Holland and Barrett head office, funnily enough, is 1 minute away from Simon's mum's house. So we were up with her for Christmas, and we went and met the guys at Holland and Barrett. They're all wearing like Christmas jumpers with bells on them, and it was quite a fun meeting, actually, when you think about your buyer meetings. I'm not intimidated by them now, but certainly then, my God, that was
a big thing.
That was a big thing.
You put so much pressure on yourself.
Massive, yeah. And you don't have as much confidence in yourself. Whereas now I'm like very confident in what we're doing. And if somebody doesn't like it, then I can't do any more, you know? Whereas then there's less confidence, it's very early on. And they agreed to list the product and be part of our big launch of our pouches and everything, which was post jar era. And we were just, I've got a photo of us outside our branded van wearing like Santa hats and being outside the Barrett head office, just being like really excited, like, yeah. And just that feeling was absolutely amazing. And don't get me wrong, listings are exciting regardless. But yeah, you definitely expect more of yourself as things go on. And yeah.
And how has that gone for the business generally? The Holland and Barrett sort of exposure.
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. I mean, the great thing about Holland and Barrett is that they give you nationwide distribution and reach. And I actually think they're a really good company to work with. I mean, I know a lot of people have not had quite the same experience, and maybe it's the particular team we work with there. We found them to be fantastic. And yeah.
Okay, great. I know we've talked about sort of the rebrand and the pivot of the business. I think just to sort of end, where do you see, where's the big vision? What does True Start look like in 5 years' time, let's say?
We want True Start to be the number one coffee choice for the younger generation. Known, respected, exciting for people. A brand that people know and love and want to engage with. Not at the expense of our ethics, as we talked about earlier. That's what we're aiming for. And, you know, we used to say we're building the Red Bull of coffee, which is not a great analogy because obviously Red Bull's like a serious energy drink, but it just gives you an idea of the size of our aspirations, which are that big. But Red Bull was born in the same year as Simon and I, and we're under no illusion that this is not going to happen overnight, and we're in it for the long haul. So we're just always going to be looking at what's next and how can we achieve that bigger vision of being the number one coffee choice for the younger generation, energizing people to get the most out of every day. How can we do that better right now? Whether it's new products and new innovations, because you've got to stay ahead of the consumer. So you've got to really understand the consumer and what they want out of brands and how their coffee consumption is changing, for example. Create products that they really want at that time, and what the consumer wants in 5 years will be different to now, is different to 5 years ago, and we've got to make sure that we're providing that in order to build our business in the way we want to and achieve that vision. So yeah, it's just about never sitting still, I suppose.
Whilst obviously doing a little bit of research for this, I found some coffee facts that really surprised to hear. Just wondering whether you've got any comments on them, just to end something a little bit lighthearted.
Cool.
Coffee being the second most sought after commodity after crude oil.
Second, highly traded commodity.
Highly traded.
Yeah, so crude oil is the most traded commodity in the world, I know, and coffee is next, yeah. So it's the most highly traded sort of consumer good, I suppose.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we've talked about the sort of coffee shops all around and the sort of increase in the awareness of coffee, but yeah. I wouldn't have thought it was quite to that scale.
Massive, yeah, massive. Shows how much coffee and competition actually there is out there, but it's so broad.
One thing obviously you talked about is ethics and sort of this really being true to the whole supply chain as well. You talked about realizing that coffee farms is the livelihood for over 25 million people.
Amazing, isn't it?
So it's obviously very small in terms of each individual farm.
Yeah.
So just and briefly, how do you source yours? Is it a particular farm? Is it a consortium?
Particular region,
okay.
And then for our nitro blend and our cold brew, we've broadened out from Colombia and there's a South American blend because it tastes different. Cold brew and nitro tastes different. So Colombia, I think, it's an amazing country. It's the only coffee producing nation that has a national federation of coffee growers, which protects their farmers in the same way that fair trade does, for example. And all coffee producing nations are very different, and you have some that are inherently more fair than others.
Okay.
Colombia is amongst the best. And the big difference with Colombia is that most of the farms in Colombia are independent family-run farms rather than sort of
big corporates.
Big oligopolies. Yeah, exactly. So it's a really important part of so many families in Colombia. It's their most important industry. So the government actually looks after them pretty well, or certainly puts some measures. There's always improvements that can happen, right? But yeah, it's really interesting. And our farmers are part of a consortium locally that puts a lot back into local communities. So through infrastructure, local infrastructure, through education, through nutrition.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so there's a lot going on.
Okay. And couple final facts. One, I never realised that coffee was discovered or invented, I suppose is the wrong word, but in Ethiopia.
That only rings a bell for me. It's not something I know loads about.
But I was surprised. I would have expected it to be South America, to be honest.
Yeah,
considering
no,
the amount of coffee that now is
it's because South America have done quite a good job of marketing their beans, I suppose, and often people think of things like Colombian coffee is super premium, but there are so many Asian and African. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so many. So yeah, I was learning, I've written a blog post recently called Beyond the Beard, all about the future of coffee. And it includes a potted history of coffee because coffee comes in what we call consumer waves. So you've got first wave, second wave, third wave, fourth wave, now fifth wave coffee. And all about how it started to get big from coffee houses in the Middle East, branching into Europe and becoming a real sort of social hotspot.
Yeah, okay.
Really interesting.
Interesting history. Final one, and obviously the health benefits we've touched on.
Yeah.
But how true this is, hopefully you can tell me, but coffee helps to reduce developing such sort of age-related diseases as type 2 diabetes. Another sort of
dementia.
Parkinson's, was it, I think?
Parkinson's, yeah, there's been studies. So coffee's really interesting, obviously.
Yes.
I'm going to say that. It is the highest, well, most concentrated source of antioxidants in the Western diet. There's just always interesting studies coming out about, we don't do these studies in-house, we rely on all the amazing people out there that are doing them, showing that a certain amount of, you know, good quality coffee can help to combat things like dementia, Parkinson's, mental illness as well, depression, anxiety certainly. And yeah, the list is pretty extensive. There's quite a lot of information on it on our website actually. And it's all referenced if you want to dig as well, which can be really interesting if you've sort of got a day of reading.
Some education on coffee and health
and
benefits.
It is. There's a lot of naturally present antioxidants and minerals in good quality, non-destroyed coffee, which I suppose bring other benefits to just waking you up.
Okay. Look, thank you very much for taking the time to do
Pleasure.
This today.
I enjoyed it.
Been really good. I wish you all the very, very much success. Obviously, we'll hopefully see the fruits of this rebrand and the pivot very soon. So just so people are aware, how do they get in contact with you? Where do they find you if they want to sort of chat to you about your product or coffee or just you? Where do they find you?
So our website is truestartscoffee.com. We're on social media, True Start Coffee, so at True Start Coffee on Twitter, Instagram. You find us on Facebook. You can find me as well on Twitter and Instagram at HelenaHills58. Yeah, get in touch. Yep. Love to hear from you.
Once again, thank you, Helena. It's been fantastic.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me. Loved it.